Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with our special guest, Dr. Charles Simone. You've heard what we've been talking about, Ebola, cancer detection, how to save yourself from a terrorist attack as well. Charles, I was reading that there seems to be a doctor shortage. I never thought that would happen, but it is, isn't it?
Well, it's happened two times before, and it's allowed the foothold of the HMOs to grab in our country. When the doctor shortage occurred before, they imported lots of foreign graduates, good doctors, but foreign graduates, who simply allowed the reimbursement to drop down, and that's how the HMOs got a stranglehold in our country.
Yeah. Will it ever stop? Will it be fixed?
No, I think it's going to continue. I think there's going to be more and more of this kind of thing going on, because what's happening is more and more companies are feeling the squeeze here of healthcare. You know, the healthcare cost to a company is the second leading cost they have besides salaries. That's we right. actually have a patent on a system that will link the risk of the patient to the premium that must be paid for that patient. So if a patient chooses to have a high cholesterol and not do anything about it, that patient is causing trouble. That person is causing trouble for another person in the same company who is taking care of their own body. So that person, Mary or John, should have to pay a little extra for their health care cost compared to the person who's taking care of their bodies.
Yeah, I think the person who's taking care of themselves should be rewarded somewhat.
Exactly right. So that person in my system would have rewards, and the other person who elects not to change the factors that can be changed, electively doing that, they need to be charged for it.
Let's take some calls. We'll go to Les in Fairlawn, New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Les. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have a specific question, and if there's time, I'd also like to explain why doctors usually overlook nutritional products.
All right, sure.
All right. First of all, your guest was talking about the importance of a low-fat diet to prevent or treat a number of illnesses. I read that the Department of Agriculture says that in 1980, people in the U.S. started to reduce the percentage of calories from fat. But according to a number of other studies, it was around 1980 that the rate of some of these diseases, especially breast and prostate, and also obesity and type 2 diabetes, started to increase. That seems just the opposite of what your guest and many other doctors seem to say about.
That's not true. Since 1900, when we had data from the Census Bureau, we see a continual rise of cancers from 1900 to the present time. Dietary tumors like breast and prostate have continued to rise ever since, especially when we had more accurate incidence findings and cancer death rates since the 1960s and 50s. Once we had more accurate readings, we saw the trend actually continue rising. So there's no question the incident, the number of new cases and the number of deaths since 1900 has risen despite the information that I've just given you. People are not observing it. People may have changed a little bit, but now they're right back. When you ask a young person in a high school or middle school what vegetable they want to use as a vegetable, they say a French fry. So, you know, the information is being bombarded to these people in the media with regard to advertising dollars from fast food chains and the like. So we're still having the big problem of fast foods, high-fat, low-fiber diets. We don't see any difference now compared to, say, 40 years ago.
All right, if I can make a general comment, you were also pointing out that doctors often overlook the possible use of vitamins and other nutritional products. Well, that's primarily because most nutritional products are not patented.
No, they can't. Well, most of them can't be. I have a drink that is, but most of them can't be because you don't invent vitamins and minerals.
Well, I know, but the point is many doctors think these products are useless because they're not approved by FDA to treat or prevent a specific illness. But if they knew that it was the lack of a patent that's slowing down the research, maybe they'd be more willing to do more research.
Well, let me answer that question another way. There's a big story about people on chemotherapy or radiation therapy, and they're told by their doctors not to take vitamins and minerals during chemotherapy, radiation therapy. Now, that was started by one man in 1997 in a front-page article in the New York Times, who from Memorial Sloan Kettering said, Vitamin C can interfere with chemotherapy, or rather breast cancer treatment, in those who receive chemotherapy. Now, he had no data to present, but he had an interview, front page article. 2 years later, the actual information came out, and that information came out by David Goldie, same institution, Sloan Kettering, and he left erroneously to the wrong conclusion about the same piece of information. The point is, two people, only two people from a prestigious institution in this country decided to have patients not to take vitamins during chemotherapy or radiation therapy. We looked up all the studies, we did the studies, and we showed that in over 10,000 patients who take vitamins and minerals, there's no interference with vitamins and minerals during chemotherapy or radiation therapy. There's actual enhanced killing when people take vitamins and minerals. There's actually increased survival in about two-thirds of those patients. So that's a big deal, the survival story. But despite that information on 10,000 patients, the story continues because of two people who have influenced the oncology community, not only in this country, but around the world. So a few pieces of misinformation goes a long way in our country when the media and other people simply don't voice the truth.
Well, that is so true. Let us go to Adelaide in California. Hey, Adelaide.
Oh, good evening.
Hi.
The reason I called is because I have arthritis, and I've been to therapies and all kinds of stuff, and it has to do with my sciatic nerve, and now that, because I can't really sit down for very long, like maybe 15 minutes, so then I have to get up and move around and walk, and I still hurt. I can't really drive my car for very long or anything else. So they wanted me to have cortisone shots in my back, a series of three. And I was wondering, is there anything else I could do, even though I still try to do exercises, and I do take vitamins every day, is there something I can do to help myself without having to go through this?
Yeah, generally speaking, without trying to make a diagnosis and treatment decision for you, people with arthritis are helped greatly by fish oils. Fish oils are anti-inflammatory.
Right, I do take that.
Okay. Weight loss, if there's any weight that you have to deal with, that will help also any arthritic condition, so you don't bear that much weight on that joint that you're dealing with. Sciatica and arthritis are unrelated. One is a nerve problem.
Right.
And
well, that's what they said, it was a sciatic nerve. So
they're two unrelated issues.
I see.
That you may be having at the same time.
Well, do you think that the those cortisone shots would help the sciatic nerve?
It's hard for me to know that without seeing the information and examining you, but oftentimes...
Where are you located?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, you're a long way away. Okay, well, I'll continue to take my...
Turmeric. Put her on turmeric, Charles.
Any anti-inflammatory agent will help, sure.
Anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
Like turmeric, the spice, Adelaide.
And you know, and simple moist heat will help a great deal for sciatic as well. Moist.
What kind
heat.
Of tea?
Turmeric. T-U-M-E-R-I-C. Turmeric. Turmeric.
Okay, turmeric. Okay. I'll look that up on the internet and see if I can get a recipe for it. Exactly how, or you just buy the spice
just,
and just put it
just
in hot
buy,
water.
You just
yeah.
buy it. Yeah.
Buy it, you can get it in capsule form and everything else.
Right.
You know what? I'm also a strong believer, Charles, that people need to take care of themselves. They, you know, though many doctors are well-intentioned, they can't feel what you feel. But, you know, you've got to do it yourself, don't you?
Well, you need the education, though. You need to have a plan, and that's what we provide to people, the plans in all of our books, the cancer nutrition plan. You need to have a plan. You have to have some information. You need to know what foods to eat, what not to eat. I tell patients not to eat four-legged animals, not to eat shellfish, not to eat dairy products unless it's skim or non-fat, and certainly not to eat soy products. These are all laden with fat, cholesterol, and if you decrease those four things, especially in women with the fourth one, soy, you will have a much healthier life. So you need to have information about what to do, what not to do. And, you know, some of the listeners may be confused because you hear conflicting information. The fact is, these foods that I just pointed out are the big evil doers and doers for chronic illnesses. So we need to get rid of these foods.
Okay, let's go back to the phone. Shaheen in Austin, Texas. Hi there, Shaheen.
Hi, George. How are you? Thank you so much. This is a great, great show once again. Doctor, I'm so glad to hear your voice. I have a two-part question. The first thing, we had a two or three folks here in Austin that died from, quote-unquote, the West Nile virus. Is that the same as the Ebola virus? Is that
no,
a different
no,
name for the same thing? And then, Doctor, please, the second part is, my sister just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and she waited until she could get insurance, and so she's stage two. Truly, does she have a 15-year lifespan on that? I mean, how does that all work? And then the last question is, do you have any idea how I can find that 1997 study where whoever this person was said the vitamins and minerals were bad? So sorry, I have three.
That's all right. On my website, drsimone.com, you'll see a picture of me at a microscope. Click that picture on, mm-hmm. and you will see published papers that we have published. And in those published papers, you'll see the reference to the New York Times article. So third question answered first. First question that you asked about West Nile and Ebola, yes. No, they're not the same. They're different. Second question about your sister, I don't know what her diagnosis is with regard to age, estrogen receptor. There's a whole constellation of things one would have to know. The main issue here is she's stage two. It sounds like there are lymph nodes involved. If she is estrogen receptor positive, that's a good thing. She can be treated with hormones compared to chemotherapy. In 1991, two major studies were published in Lancet in January of 1991 showing that women who had chemotherapy or women who had hormonal therapy equally fared no matter which treatment they chose. So the lesser invasive, lesser toxic to the body are hormonal treatments compared to chemotherapy. So you might want to look at those studies. The book I wrote called The Truth About Breast Health, Breast Cancer, may also be of important use for her.
What percent, Charles, do you think of the public out there are in need of some medical attention that they're just ill? Widespread?
The great majority. Most people have problems and they just let it forego the problems for lots of reasons. These days, economically, they may be out of a job and hence no insurance.
That's true.
And they're reluctant to go to any doctor. They can still reach out. We still have a great system in our country with regard to very poor people. They get good care if they know how to get into the system. The problem I see most often is the so-called prevention story. The government falls down terribly here. We started, because of the fall down with the government, we started our own program about prevention for children to go in and really talk about prevention. When you look at the line items for prevention in the National Cancer Institute budget, they equate the word prevention with mammograms. Well, mammograms are screening devices, nothing at all to do with prevention. So very few dollars compared to the entire budget is related to prevention, and I think that should change. Government falls down very hard here.
Let's go to Rick, Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Rick, you're on with Dr. Charles Simone on Coast to Coast.
Good morning.
Morning, Rick.
I just wanted to ask the doctor if he thinks there's still a possibility of finding undiscovered cures in our rainforest.
Well, many of our drugs, cardiac and even cancer drugs, come from herbal plants and or trees and things like that. So the answer is yes. I took a trip, several trips actually, to the Amazon rainforest, came back with a number of things, tested them, I was on the NBC and all these other shows with this, and we have found that the actual shaman, the people in the forest, the people who treat the patients there, they've been using these things for thousands of years and with success, turmeric and things like that. But there are anti-cancer agents. Again, as I said, many of our drugs today are from plant herbal extracts. So, yes, I think there's great merit to it. The problem is, and this is the big problem, we can't find the tumor early enough to make a difference. That's the big problem. We've been working on studies called proteomics. Proteomics is a constellation of thousands of proteins in the bloodstream. And we've published the early papers on it, and it's on our website. Proteomics will detect tumors earlier than the so-called PSA for men, prostate cancer, than the CA125 for women's ovarian cancer, and other tumor markers that we use all the time in this country. Soon, it'll be in the a marketplace for use, but we need to find tumors earlier so that we can attack them earlier, and then I think we'll see a change in the outcome and extension of life with that earlier detection.
Why are they saying the prostate blood test might be unnecessary?
Well, what we're learning is that, again, that story about the mammogram that I tried to pictorially represent to you, the 15-year story, finding it earlier, 7 years versus the usual 11 years, is the same thing with the PSA. We're finding the disease earlier, but it's not changed the outcome. And worse, when we find a high PSA in men age 70, 80, we're putting these men through needless surgery, needless radiation, needless treatment with hormones or chemo, because they will probably die with prostate cancer and not because of it. So we're doing too many things to people that we shouldn't be doing.
David, Reno, Nevada. Hey, David, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Charles.
First,
I got a quick comment. I want to thank George and the listeners. If you remember, George, I called you about 3 weeks, a month ago, and I told you about my drummer that had a brain tumor, and
yes,
we were going to all pray for him. Well, I want you to know that prayers do work. He had an eight centimeter tumor removed from his frontal part of his brain, and he's fully conscious and very comprehensive, and I told you he was a drummer in my band, and we had a rehearsal last night, and he did fantastic, and we're doing a series of shows. So thank you and all the Coast listeners for, I'm sure that the prayers did go out, and I want to thank you for that. And I wanted to ask the good doctor, I had one doctor tell me that I should take Lipitor, and I had another doctor tell me don't go near the stuff. What would your answer be for that?
Well, statin drugs, and Lipitor is one of these so-called statin drugs, they lower the cholesterol, and every American likes to see their numbers get normal, become normal. They lower the cholesterol, all right, but they've not been shown to increase the lifespan of a patient. So you can go from a cholesterol of, say, 300 down to 200 and still not change the outcome of what's happening inside the arteries. And that's the big problem. That's the big rub. There's been studies years ago, and you'll never hear about this again because it's been quashed very nicely. They were published in Lancet also, looking at all the studies of aspirin comparing to statin drugs, and they found that people who take aspirin compared to people who take statin drugs have no difference in outcome with regard to lifespan, mortality, heart attacks, strokes, and things like that. So simple aspirin every day, taken around 6 p.m., and that's an important time to take it, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 5 p.m., and your time zone during that large meal, that's when to take your aspirin, and that seems to be as protective as anything else.
Interesting. We're going to come back with final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Helene Olson joins us. We're going to be talking about her work as a psychic medium, also connecting with the angelic realm. That'll be next hour on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back with Dr. Charles Simone, we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Dr. Charles Simone. We'll take your calls. Charles, Lydia from California writes us and wants to know if she has excess protein in her system. Is that a kidney issue?
Kidneys filter and let excess protein out of the body, but what is causing the production of the protein is another matter. Either excess intake of protein nutritionally, or there could be some cells in the body making excess protein, and that should be investigated.
All fixable?
Some, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the important thing. What do you recommend if people want to do initial self-research themselves? Just hit the Internet? Is that the best place now?
Well, like I tell people with when you look for a book, the first thing you should look for in a book is all the references in the back of the book. If there's only a handful of references, 10, 15, for a 300-page book, I'd put the book that right down. You know, if you're talking about a scientific book, that is, a self-help book. If there's thousands of references in the book, then it's a good book. So I think you need to source the information, make sure it's well referenced, and then look to it as reliable. Otherwise, there are lots of things on the internet that can go awry with regard to information. And I think you need to look at different things and look at the number of sources of references when a website is being produced to you.
Absolutely. Let's go to a first-time caller in El Paso, Texas. Amador's with us. Hi there, Amador.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Doctor, I was wondering if you were familiar with Dr. Max Gerson and the Gerson therapy that he developed for the treatment of cancer and other degenerative and chronic diseases.
Yes, I was one of the people who first set up the Office of Alternative Medicine in 1992 at the National Institutes of Health. I, together with a few senators and a few other people. So I had direct knowledge of these people then and now and their work that is as it continues. So we've looked at all these kinds of things. We've asked these centers with the office if they would submit the 10 best records that they had. So if they treated 10 or 20,000 patients, all we wanted from them was the 10 best records. And very few of these centers would send us 10 best records. So sometimes there's no way to evaluate a treatment if we don't see the scientific data to support it.
Can one get caught up, as you mentioned, fads, into fad situations?
Well, yeah, I think it happens a lot in our country, especially in medicine and or nutraceutical stuff.
Diets.
Diets and things like that. Mother Nature is very simple. There's only a few simple tenets to follow all the time, and I think people just should focus on simplistic information that makes sense, that's well-backed by scientific data.
All right, let's go to Christian, driving in Wyoming, and he's up with us. Hi, Christian, go ahead. Thanks for calling. You are on Coast to Coast.
How you doing this evening? Can you hear me fine?
Yep, sure can.
I want to bring up with Dr. Simone. I'm actually military personnel, and that big thick book about the anti chemical warfare that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I've read that, and I'm curious as to where a few of the things that you named off, like bleach and baking soda and stuff, where that all came from when it comes to defending yourself from that.
Well, if you're talking about a viral infection, if you're talking about certain other chemicals, then bleach and things like that will counteract it. If you get infected, if you have wounds during attack, you want to make sure that the wounds are clean. So bleach will help that, as well as peroxide, all the bandages we talked about. These are all helpful during some kind of attack, common sense.
You know, there's an old farmer used to tell me that he would put a little pint of bleach down his well all the time to sanitize it. Just a little cup's worth. And initially I said, you're poisoning yourself. He said, no, not at all. I guess it works, huh?
It does.
Next up we go to Pat in Olympia, Washington. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Great show.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm 65 years old. I became diabetic several years ago. And one of the attendant problems is a very bad case of neuropathy. Mainstream medicine doesn't seem to want to or can't take care of the problem. I wonder if the doctor can address it.
Two things. Are you overweight?
No, sir.
Okay. The second thing is a nutritional component called alpha lipoic acid has been shown to be very, very helpful in neuropathies. I use it all the time with cancer chemotherapy patients. And what alpha lipoic acid does, and I'll give you the dose, what it does is make sure that the casing around the nerve, if you look at a wire, copper wire, mm-hmm. and then you have the plastic coating, well, every nerve has a plastic coating around it too called myelin. Sometimes the myelin gets interrupted by diabetics with a diabetic process. Alpha lipoic acid repairs that and decreases the feeling of neuropathy. The amount of alpha lipoic acid is 600 milligrams a day, and that's an important number. But more importantly is the fact that a good alpha lipoic acid preparation should make your urine smell as if you've eaten asparagus. There are many counterfeits on the market. They all know, all the manufacturers know that there should be a yellow color to the pill or the capsule. And so you'll find a yellow hue to the capsule or the pill. But what they can't reproduce with a bogus alpha-lipoic acid, what they can't reproduce is the smell in your urine. It should smell as if you've had asparagus.
In Chicopee, Massachusetts, Pauline is with us. Hi, Pauline. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, George. Good morning, Dr. Simone.
Morning.
Yes, I was wondering about, I had for the past about 5 or 6 years, I had blood in my urine, actually. I had large amounts of protein. And the thing I was wondering is, what could be the causes of that, and what kind of medicines could I use to, stop the frequent? I urinate frequently. I urinate a lot, mm-hmm. and I'm only 18 years old.
18. Yeah, you better. It should be checked to see. Make sure you don't have a prostatitis. That's the most common cause of this problem that you're talking about in your age group. So make sure you don't have a prostatitis. Get examined. Have a rectal exam done. Have your urine examined, looked at under a microscope, and even cultured. And if you need an antibiotic, it might clear up this whole problem.
What about being diabetic? Is that possible?
Well, generally in young people it could be, but bloody urine intermittently with some pain and discomfort and urgency generally is an inflammatory condition generally.
Right, absolutely. Okay, next up we go to Frank in Boaz, Alabama. Hey, Frank, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, first of all, let me just preface this real quickly with this is the greatest show. The show is unbelievable that everyone in our country should be listening to. And now with Dr. Simone, I can't imagine a more important guest that you've ever had. And I listen to you all the time in my driving back and forth here. I'm in Alabama right now, but I'm from New York. And the importance of this is incredible. I'm working on something with Dr. Simone. I don't know if I'm sure you're familiar with FEACT.
Yes.
And, you know, we're doing a film on it. And I've found personally where there's a lot of shebangy FEACTs out there. But the people that we've found that we've been interviewing, that actually Dr. Bruce, who was JFK's doctor, you're familiar with that, right, Dr. Simone?
Uh-huh.
Dr. Bruce was JFK's doctor, and Dr. Bruce said that FEACT was a cure for cancer. So we've been doing all this research and going and finding different people that FEACT goes back 80 years with Reen Case, you know? And I've never heard somebody there's people out there, there's doctors like yourself out there, but everybody's terrified to talk about what you're talking about. And whether it's military doctors and people that have told me, that what Dr. Simone is saying is not, people are just, and I didn't know, by the way, I didn't know what you just said about the 1997 guy that put this through, because we have several people from the intellectual community and that they refuse to take this SEACT. Now, I've personally seen about 138 people basically cured of whether it's colon cancer, breast tumors, brain tumors, lung cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer with this tea. And what you're talking about the world needs to hear you, man. And because at the end of the day, George's show is the most informative show out there. But, you know, everything that's going to happen in the coming whatever time, there's going to be problems, George. I listen to you all the time.
Yes,
but
sir.
What Dr. Simone is saying is a solution. And the solution is not known, man. People are so... it's like when they go to a doctor, it's like a cop pulling you on the side. When you see the lights and a cop's going to pull you over, it's like, oh, geez, what did I do wrong? And maybe saying your taillight's out or something. And when people go to a doctor and they hear the word cancer, they absolutely, and nobody knows better than you, they go into this complete panic. And the solutions are right here in the earth. Somebody that was on your show, George, told me that there was hundreds of cures for cancer, and how do we get, well, I know the solution of getting it into the consciousness of the people, what Dr. Simone is saying, you know, but people are living in fear. That word cancer, is just terrifying to people. And, I mean, as far as SEACT goes, I mean, there's a thousand things I want to ask you, you know. And as far as SEACT goes, in your experience, what do you think of that?
Well, it's been around for millennium, as you indicated. It's people use it, and there's no side effect with regard to downside to it. So people use it and integrate it with their current care.
What is it about tea, Charles, that seems to work?
Well, the medicinal value. About?
Yeah, or any tea in general.
There's been some there's some data that shows that it boosts the immune system, and that's what the people are working on. But again, it's been around for millennium. No one's done the study on it because one of the prior callers talked about patents. And since you can't patent something, then you can't bring it to market and have that huge markup. So there's no major incentive, financial incentive, to do a major study to look at this properly. And what you have to remember is when you try to take a drug to market, whether it be SEACT or what I did with shark cartilage, I appeared on 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace about shark cartilage years ago. Any of these drugs, if you really try to take it to market and do it through the FDA in the proper way in this country, it costs $1.2 billion to get it done.
Not going to happen unless you're a big pharmaceutical company or Monsanto or something like that.
Right. They make the rules to keep the little guy out. So the SEACT guys don't have that kind of money to come to the game, and so they're never going to do the proper study to show that it works. That's the problem.
Keith from New Jersey sends in a text, says he loves cereal. You don't like milk? What do you recommend?
I eat cereal dry. I eat it like little kids. I put it in the cup, and I chuck it down as dry cereal.
Wow. Can you use non-fat?
Yeah, no. I don't like dairy in general. Like, we're the only animal that uses dairy after weaning. And animal protein is not a good thing with regard to dairy products. Anyway, lots of mucus, lots of skin problems. So if you want something to moisten your dairy, to moisten your cereal, go to rice milk. I think that's safe.
Right.
Almond milk.
How about water?
Water's good, too. Water's good, too.
Let's go to Ed in Westminster, California. Hey, Ed, your turn.
Hi, George.
Dr. Hello, sir.
Great show. I'm calling about subjective tinnitus with vertigo. And doing a lot of reading on the internet, and it looks like there's no cure for this. Do you have any suggestions on getting help or any type of other testing that should be done for underlying problems?
Well, the first thing is you need to find out what the cause of it is. I mean, you may have had a stroke and have this related to it, or it may be a simple hardening of the artery and causing this problem too. But the cause is critical. Once you know what the cause is, then you can try to treat it. Much more often than not, there's no specific treatment for it, except what you can try to do is decrease fluid from your sinuses, which will then decrease fluid from your middle ear and clear up some of this vertigo.
Charles, can somebody have a stroke and not even know it, and maybe it just clears itself up?
Happens a lot, and more often than not, in fact.
Maybe you get a headache, and it's really a stroke.
Yep, or maybe you feel nothing, and you have a stroke. When you get an MRI scan for something else, you say, oh, there's a stroke there somewhere.
And a stroke is what, a bigger particle going through your brain?
Well, a veins? Stroke is a blood clot, like a heart attack. It's a heart attack, a brain attack. You have a little clot that seals off a little area of the brain and causes that area of the brain not to function properly.
Theoretically, if the arteries to the heart, and what, there's seven of them, main ones, if they all stayed pretty clean, how long could that heart keep beating?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I've seen studies that show that you have so many heartbeats in your lifetime, and after that, that's
it
the
stops.
End of the game. But if you see these older people, 105, 110, some very hardworking people, so obviously they worked hard and pumped that heart rate up all the time. Others, not very hardworking, more house-oriented. So I don't know the answer to that question.
That's like the heartbeat of a turtle.
Yeah,
they live long, and it just blump, blump.
That's right.
Next up, Randy in Running Springs, California. Hi, Randy. Go ahead.
Hi, George, and hello to Dr. Simone. Doctor, I have a question for you. I have PVCs and tachycardia, and my doctor also said this was diagnosed. I also have a little bit of a weak heart pump.
What does that mean? Did you have a heart attack?
No, not at all. I've had the tachycardia and the PVC since I was a teenager, mm-hmm. but it was misdiagnosed.
That's like a racy heart, right?
Right, yeah. But specific to different chambers of the heart, if he's using the correct terminology.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things, you got to, again, like I said before with another caller, you need to find out what the cause is. Have they put you on beta blockers? Do they know that it's an electrolyte imbalance or not? Certain things like potassium alone will help correct many of these so-called arrhythmias because many people are deficient in potassium, magnesium. So simple electrolyte replacement is what you should be doing every day anyway.
Well, what he did, he put me on a blood pressure medicine just so I wouldn't stroke out during the tachycardia, lowering the blood pressure so that it, you know, wouldn't build up in my head. I'm taking the herbal supplement Hawthorn, and it seems to help the PVCs. Does that sound right, or is it just something that's just happening?
It may be just happening, but, you know, look to some potassium, look to magnesium. These are all very important for your heart health anyway, and they won't hurt you. So try to do that and see if that has an effect on you.
And Hawthorn, Charles, has been known to help some heartbeats and rhythm.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they used to give the old horse Seabiscuit Hawthorn.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if that made him win all those races. Randy, thanks for your call. We are running out of time here, Charles. I want to thank you for spending a few hours with us.
It's our pleasure.
Where do people get your book, How to Save Yourself from a Terrorist Attack?
Well, they can get it right from the website, drsimone.com. It'll take you to another site, how to order it, and it'll go right through that way.
All right, super. Thanks. Great information. Very valuable. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit with a psychic medium and also the angelic realm right here on Coast to Coast AM with our special guest, Helene Olson, next on Coast to Coast AM.